St. Mark begins his gospel with the baptism of the Lord. We just see Jesus as an adult man. Matthew takes us back to the conception of Christ, and then in the genealogy, back to Abraham, our father in faith. Luke takes us back to the conception of Christ, and then in the genealogy, to Adam. But John takes us back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. He himself was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Yet to all who receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. Children born not of natural desire nor of human decision, but of God himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten, who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received blessing upon blessing. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten who is at the Father's side who has made him known. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. How do we characterize one another? Who's that up there? Who's she? Who's he? We use words. How do we characterize ourselves? We use words. Let's say you go to a drinks party, you find someone sympathetic, and you pour out your heart, you describe who you are and how your boss doesn't understand you. And you use words. And then the next morning you wake up and you think, they must think I'm a right idiot. That's not me at all. That was just one aspect. I was in a mood. Because we are creatures of time. And though we can use words to characterize ourselves, to characterize others, it's a constant flow of time. And how we see things now is not the same as yesterday. But if the Holy One, blessed be the name, were to characterize his own divine self, that word would be eternal and would be full. And so the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the very being of God, not just the being, but the doing, the providence of God, the wisdom of God. God's own self-characterization. Not what we think he is, but how he is, took on our human flesh. My ways are not your ways, it is the Lord who speaks. Isaiah 55. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. But if his way, his thoughts, his very being, were to enter into our humanity and our human ways, could our human ways flow into his divine way? And this is the mystery of the incarnation. That Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. How do we characterize each other, one another? If I say, who's that over there? You say, well, he's 5'9", he weighs so much. You say, well, this is a robot, this isn't a human being. No, you say, she's from so-and-so, she does this, very pleasant person, then you characterize her. How do we human beings characterize each other? Basically, by gossip. Now, I don't mean malicious gossip, that is totally unknown in the Church of England, I know. What I mean is that loving gossip that you get after a funeral. You come back to the flat or the house from the cemetery, the crematorium, and over drinks and sandwiches, you lovingly gossip about the beloved one. Do you remember that time when she did this? Do you remember when he said that? You account what they did, what they said. And it's loving gossip. That's what I'm getting at. It characterizes a person, and it's both, you're both crying and laughing at the same time when you remember the person. Do you remember when? I think that's a basic way we human beings communicate, by telling little stories or what they said. Now it has pleased the Holy Spirit to give us four holy gospels. That's all they are. Collections of high quality gossip about Jesus of Nazareth. Do you remember the time when the leper said, heal me, and he churned up with compassion, touched the untouchable leper. That's the sort of man he was. He touched the untouchable leper. Do you remember the time when they brought a paralytic? Four men carried a paralytic, and then they took the roof off the house and lowered him down. That's gossip. Do you remember the time when he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many? Do you remember the time in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, if it is possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. In the Gospels, we characterize Jesus. And this is a scandal to Jews and to Islam. We characterize God himself. Gossip about this man, and you gossip about God, and there is no other. It's a scandal to other religions, and it is the center of our faith. Let me start again from a different direction. In the liturgy, I think in the Church of England as well, I think, but certainly the Roman Catholic rite, bread and wine are brought up, laid on the altar, a prayer said. And the people shout out, blessed be God forever. What good does it do God to be blessed by the likes of you? What benefit does God get from your blessing? It's obviously not the place to start. Blessings and graces descend. We are surrounded by blessings and graces. Our grandparents, who had harder lives than we have, would talk about it's a grace, it's a blessing, or it's a cross you must carry. We have allowed our imagination, our metaphors, our vision to be secularized. We no longer experience life in this way, of graces and blessings surrounding us. Now, we Christians believe not just that we're graced and blessed passively, but we are called to be graces and blessings to one another, to cooperate with God's descending graces and blessings. We see this in the Annunciation of Our Lady. Be it done unto me according to your will. Her cooperation. And it's filled with the way that we cooperate with divine grace. By being receptive to what is larger and greater than ourselves. The life of God descending and entering into us. We are receptive, we are to cooperate. And in cooperating, we integrate grace into ourselves. We become holy. We are called to be holy, to be graces and blessings. So we say graces and blessings descending, graces and blessings abounding, graces and blessings. Now, it's then. If we realize that we are surrounded by abounding graces and blessings, not just directly from God himself, but through one another, through God's good creation, through everything around us, abounding graces. Then we say, blessed be God forever. Then there are graces and blessings ascending. And not just graces and blessings, but petitions and lamentations. Now this hand waving is vitally important. You've been watching the hand waving. It doesn't work without the hand waving. You cannot understand John's gospel without waving your hands around. That's how I teach it. John chapter 6. I am the bread of life which has come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread, I will raise them up on the last day. Philippians chapter 2, St. Paul. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and the abounding graces of his life. And being found in human form, he became humbler yet, even to accepting death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you are studying Thomas Aquinas, this will be called the exitus and the reditus, the coming forth of all things from God the Father. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the abounding graces. And the reditus, the return of all things to God the Father. It's a basic rhythm of Christian doctrine, of the liturgy, of the invoking of the Holy Spirit over the gifts, and then the uplifting prayers after the consecration. In John's Gospel, you see, in John's Gospel, remember in John's Gospel, there are always sort of comic incidents. People don't get it. Like the Samaritan woman. I will make in you a living fountain, Jesus says. No, I will give you living water, fountaining up to eternal life. She says, fantastic, I won't need the bucket to come to this well. Again and again, people just don't get it. Throughout John's Gospel, people are sort of, what's that wonderful word, eavesdropping. It's a lovely word to eavesdrop. I don't know how it came in. Let's say you were sitting in the churchyard and two people came past behind you talking. You heard what they were saying, and being paranoid, they're talking about you. You get snippets, but you don't get the flow. And until you enter into the flow, you don't get it. And in John's Gospel, people just can't get Jesus because they haven't entered into the flow. The Son of Man who descended from heaven, and when I am lifted up, I shall draw all humankind to myself. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten Son who has made him known, that John has told us. It's only in the incarnation that it becomes clear. And not just the Word became flesh, but dwelt amongst us in his lived out life, In John's Gospel, Jesus isn't the centre of attention, strangely enough. Though he keeps saying, I am the bread of life, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd, I am. At these points, he always, as it were, steps aside to say, I do nothing but the will of the one who sent me. That sending, that descending. Well, there we are. We've just done the Trinity. That's taken about 15 minutes. We've got the doctrine of the Trinity. Father, from whom and to whom? This Jesus, this human being, as human as we are, of whom we can gossip. And the hand waving is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always described in fluid moving terms, fire, water, breath, wind. Poor old Nicodemus, he's another one. If you read Nicodemus, chapter 2, that was chapter 3 perhaps, he can't get it. He will get it eventually. The wind, the Spirit blows where he wills. Now you and I have been brought into this flow of divinity, of divine life. The Father, the incarnate Son. In him we see our God made visible. And there is no other. He is a perfect image, the word of the Father, whom we cannot see. The divine ways have entered into our human history, into our human ways, our human thoughts. And by grace and water and the Holy Spirit, we've been brought into this flow of the divine life. The Trinity always has to be seen as movement, not as static. In theology, nouns are very dangerous. Incarnation, atonement, redemption. I always think of them as a bit like trying to say, it's like serving up frozen fish fingers. You've got to defrost these things. Take that lovely phrase we use in the liturgy, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. The gracing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the loving of God the Father, the constantly being called into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. That's something dynamic in which we live and move and have our being. You and I, not by any merit of our own, have been called into this flow of Trinity, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, by water and Spirit. There's that lovely prayer where the priest mixes water and wine at the Eucharist, which at the moment has just gone completely out of my head. As water... who humbled himself to share in our humanity. As the water is taken into the wine.
The mystery of this water.
Take nine. You can't get it out. As the water, I must know, as water is taken into the wine, so may we come to share in the divinity of Christ who humbled himself to share in our humanity. You and I are divine. Now, you should practice this in front of the mirror sometimes. Look in the mirror and say, by God, you're divine. Because by God, and by God, only by God, you are truly sons and daughters of God by adoption. What Jesus is by nature, you and I have become by adoption. So when we celebrate his birth at Bethlehem, we're also celebrating our adoption into that divine flow. We really are children of God. To be receptive, to cooperate, and to integrate that divine life into ourselves. And each one of us does it in a unique way. In our once only to be lived life, we integrate that divine life within our own humanity, with our flaws and our strengths, with what happens to happen in life. And so in the church there's enormous diversity and yet unity. Pope Francis has a great thing at the moment, constantly saying, it is the one Spirit who gives both diversity and unity. We are not to be like each other. The more we grow in God, the more we become our own unique self. All things were made through him and in him, and all things came to be. You and I are priests of creation. This has consequences for ecology, for preserving the planet and all the rest. You and I are called, as he was called, to follow in his ways. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So you and I are called to enter into his ways and to his thoughts. But we do this with a power beyond us, with a divine force. We need do not be anxious. Your Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and the Spirit has been given to you for us to work for humanity and for all God's good creation. So Christmas is not just about the birth of the Son of God, but about our births in faith as sons and daughters of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.